Welcome back to Witchcast, guys. My name is Julia. I am the host to this podcast. And today we have Alana back from The Witch Next Door. So Alana,
hey, everyone. I'm excited to be back.
Yes. And we're really, well, I don't always say we're really excited. I'm really excited to have you back. So today, won't you tell us what we're going to be talking about?
Well, I went to a haunted house, and I have so many stories for everybody.
Oh, my God, haunted house season. It's so exciting. Oh, my God, because Halloween's very close, around the corner. It's already mid-September. So let's get started with Tarot Card of the Day, and then we'll talk about the Halloween tour. All right.
Awesome.
And card we have today is going to be Knight of Pentacles. All right. So Knight of Pentacles, what do you think?
That's a very, well, I mean, any of the court cards are going to be a little bit more complicated cards. Mm-hmm. Usually points to some sort of aspect of yourself that you're looking at. I know with the Knight of Pentacles, it's a lot of, you know, hard work, being productive. I tend to think of it as the part of me that's like aspirational almost.
Mm-hmm.
And usually I tend to see it a lot when I'm working on a big project or working towards goals. That's the card that'll kind of come out most when I'm doing readings for myself.
Oh, for sure. And for Knight of Pentacles, for me, guys, it's upright, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that. Sorry. It's a very persistent card. So yes. It talks about, like Alana was saying, that it's a kind of like a hardworking card. It's a good card to get when you know that there's things that are like shit need to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So Knight of Pentacles for sure talks about in this episode what we need to accomplish and what we need to get done and how we're going to do it. So I think that's a great card to get to start off the Haunted House edition.
Yes.
So, okay. First off, where did you go?
Well, I went to Savannah in Georgia, which is one of my favorite cities to go to. I mean, it's considered one of the most haunted cities in the U.S. I think the top three is supposed to be Savannah, Charleston, and New Orleans. So those are always really fun vacation spots if you're looking for creepy haunted stuff to do. Which, I mean, when I go on vacation, my number one thing is I want to go on a ghost tour. So
yeah, that's always the best, though.
I mean,
like Savannah, what is so haunted about it? Like, do you know what is the main attraction, or like what is it known for?
There are a lot of Revolutionary War and Civil War battles happened in Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire city is basically built on top of a graveyard. When finished running out of rooms to rebuild buildings for housing and businesses to expand, they just removed headstones and started building over the graves. So basically, no matter where you are walking in the city of Savannah, you will be walking over dead bodies.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay. Super fun. But the house I went to, it's called the Sorrel Weed House. If you watch like any of those like ghost hunter shows and stuff like that, all those shows have done episodes on the house. It's considered to be one of the most active paranormal locations in Savannah and in the country in general.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually not my first time I had been there. I was there about 10 years ago. And this was just a chance for me to go back a second time. So a lot of people have some crazy stories coming out of that house.
Yeah. What was your experience like the first time you got there?
Well, the first time I went, let's see, it was about, like I said, it was about 10 years ago. And I was very into haunted houses and spirits and stuff like that. But I really hadn't started working on my craft yet. So I knew I had these like abilities, and I could definitely communicate with things. I didn't know what those things were at the time. So I was very sensitive to spirits back then, but I also had no idea what to do with those feelings that I got when I was around them. So the first time I was there was very overwhelming. There was one room that I went into. It was kind of like the living room area. That I almost felt sick to my stomach in that room. Like I got that vertigo-y kind of felt like I was on like a boat seasickness sort of feeling. So yeah, so that it was fun. I learned a lot, but it was very overwhelming that first time. It also might help if I just kind of let you know why the house is considered a haunted house.
Yes, please tell us the backstory.
Oh, the story of this house is crazy. It was built in, I want to say the early 1800s or the late 1700s. I don't quite remember. But either way, the Sorrells were one of the wealthiest families in Savannah. House is beautiful. Even to this day, it's still a beautiful house. And they had, like, was common back in that time. It did have a lot of house slaves living in the house. So it was... these are the slaves that would cook, clean, that sort of stuff. There's not, you know, a plantation or anything like that. It's just a house. But the way the story goes is that one day, Mr. Sorrell's wife was, they were getting ready to have a party at the house, and she was looking for her, like her handmaid, to help her get dressed for this party. And could not find her anywhere, was asking everybody where she was. Finally, she went into the carriage home, which was the slave quarters, to go look for her. And this particular slave, her name was Mary, she had her own bedroom since she was kind of the in charge of all the other slaves. So when she went into that bedroom, she found her husband forcing himself on top of Mary, who was probably about 13 or 14 at the time.
Makes sense.
So she immediately ran back into the house, into the living room, and threw herself off the balcony.
Oh shit.
Okay. So that is how she died. About a week later, they found Mary hanging in her bedroom. Because of the timing that it was, no one investigated it. They just wrote it off as a suicide. But the kind of gossip was that it was not a suicide because hanging was not a common form of suicide back then. And she was barely 4 feet tall. And she was hanging from rafters that were about 8 or 9 feet overhead.
Jesus. Okay.
Yes. So there was a lot of mystery surrounding her death. So those are kind of the two main ghosts that get talked about in that house. I found out on this last trip there that one of the rooms in the basement at one point in time was a trauma surgery room. And this was like mid 1800s when most trauma surgeries did not end well.
Yeah.
So sure. Dozens and dozens of people died in that basement.
This place is haunted as hell.
Yep,
for sure.
Just lots of spirits hanging around there.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a magnet for ghosts or something. Yeah. Jeez. Yep. Okay, so now we know the backstory of how crazy this house is.
Yes.
So how did you even go to the tour? Like, did you have to buy tickets online or how did it work?
So you buy tickets just on the house's website. The first time I went, I had done just the normal ghost tour, where they kind of walk around the house, tell you the history of each room. You get a couple minutes in each room. This time what I did was called the overnight lock-in the overnight paranormal investigation. You get there around 11, it goes until a little after 2 a.m. And you get a whole bunch of like paranormal gear. So we got the EMF readers, we got the spirit boxes, and then there were other, you know, electronic meters placed around the house that would go off if something was close to them. They gave us flashlights that we could use to try to communicate with the spirits, all sorts of different tools. And we kind of got split up into little groups of four and let loose in the house. We had about 30 minutes on each floor of the house. So 30 minutes in the slave quarters, 30 minutes in the basement, and 30 minutes in the living room and study area.
Jeez Louise. So you definitely had like a lot of time to explore for sure then, right?
Yes, yes. And all the lights are off.
Well, that makes sense. Yes. I mean, that's kind of a given. You kind of have to have the lights off like that so that way it makes the more of an experience.
Definitely. Definitely. So the only light you have is your flashlight.
Oh my God.
But so my group, we started in the carriage house, so in Mary's room. Uh-huh. And now the first time I had gone to that house, I took a picture kind of like from the corner of the room, just across the room. Mm-hmm. And clear as day in that picture, you can see a noose.
What the fuck?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like it looks like, you know, like when you get a halo from a flash.
Yeah.
It's like the flash halo, but in the shape of a noose right in the middle of the picture.
Jeez. Okay. That's giving me chills, like, yeah. Legitimately right now. Holy yeah. Crap. Okay.
So I walk into this room expecting, like, craziness to go down, and I got, like, nothing. I ended up sitting down right next to her bed, which we did realize there was, like, water under the bed. Which was weird because we found out later that there is a leak on the other side of the room. So how the rest of the room would be dry except for that side makes no sense, because if someone had like stepped in the water and walked, it would have trailed.
Yeah.
So okay. Like they were like, well, we're not sure why there's water there. Usually when it rains, it leaks on the other side.
Okay, that's really creepy. Yeah. Spooky.
Yeah. And some of the other people that were in there said they were getting like weird vibes. And I ended up using my tarot cards in there, and I do think I got through to Mary, but basically the message I got was like, I don't want to be bothered, can you guys please leave?
Well, she died traumatically.
Yeah. So I was just like, you know what, there's plenty of ghosts in this house. If you don't want me to bother you, I'm not gonna bother you. So then after that, we went into the area that has the living room areas and the study. Okay. So that's the area that I got really sick feeling in last time around.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely felt off in that living room again. And that is the room where the wife committed suicide. That's the room she jumped from the balcony off of. And that's supposed to be where she's seen the most often.
Okay,
and things got nuts in
please,
those rooms.
Please do tell us. I'm very excited.
So I was using my tarot cards in there. And well, first, actually, I had my pendulum also. And I was asking questions like, is this the same, you know, am I talking to the same spirit that was here the last time I was here? Were you the presence that, you know, made me feel sick last time? Things like that. And I ended up working out that it was the wife, Matilda, that was her name. And so I did a 3-card read with her. And I just asked for a card that would identify who she was. And then 2 cards for a message. The first card that I pulled was the 10 of... the 10 of swords.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that was very indicative of both the backstabbing by her husband and the suicide.
Okay. So that's a clear as day kind of yes. card for her. Yeah. Yes. Got it.
And then for the message from her, I got a 8 of, just trying to make sure I get this right. An 8 of pentacles and a 8 of cups and a 2 of pentacles.
Oh, okay.
So I was sort of getting a very like emotional, very sad, like all those cards together just made me feel very sad.
Yeah.
So very just traumatic, kind of feeling like she was stuck there. I saw the 2 of pentacles as kind of having a choice between 2 things is how I always look at that card. And sort of being stuck between being in that house and being able to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was, you know, the emotional tie to the location that was keeping her there.
Right.
And then I decided I was going to go into the husband's office right after that.
Okay. How did he die?
And he died to natural causes, old age. The villain of the story got to live a nice long life.
Bastard. Okay.
yay, real life. So I was like, you know what? Like, I got the vibe that their spirits don't interact with each other. Okay. Like, they want nothing to do with each other. They just happen to occupy the same space.
Okay.
So I just pulled two cards in there. And it was interesting, while I was pulling his cards, I got a very, like, strong whiff of cologne.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, someone's definitely here. And I was like, you know, is there anything you'd want to maybe say to your wife that can, you know, make her feel a little better? And this, out of every spirit I've ever dealt with, he is just a jerk.
Yeah, sounds like it. He was a jerk in the living, too.
He was basically like, no, it's her fault. Like, she got over-emotional and overreacted. Like, that's on her. So I got kind of fed up and was like, I'm going back. I'm going to talk to her more. I don't like you.
Yeah. What an asshole. Jeez.
Right. But I ended up going, there's a big mirror in the living room. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of stood in front of the mirror and was basically talking to Matilda, like, you know, screw him. Like, you were the one, like, you did nothing wrong. Just, you know, having a conversation. And while we're talking in the mirror, I can see like a shadow just walk across the room. And wow. I was like, oh crap.
She's really here talking to you for sure.
Yeah. Jeez. So that was probably the biggest, I guess, full-on interaction I think I had.
Uh-huh.
But then down in the basement, there was just weird stuff to see everywhere. There's a chair set up in this, like, long hallway. And the tour guide had told us that a lot of people see, like, shadow people in that hallway.
Mm-hmm.
So I did sit in that chair for a while. I saw like some sort of shadow figure like in the corner, but it never got too intense. But the interesting thing is I was showing people pictures that I took in that hallway later on. And in the picture that has flash, a lot of people were like, is that a woman standing in that window? And I was like, oh, that looks like a woman standing in that window. She was not there when I took this picture.
Oh my god. Okay. So was that Matilda?
Maybe. That door would kind of face the area that she would have landed in when she jumped.
Jeez.
And then there's a ghost of a young girl that hangs out in the basement. She was a daughter of one of the slaves. And we were told she likes to play hide and seek. So I was like, oh, this is something perfect to use my pendulum for. Like, I'll play hide and seek. I'll use my pendulum to help me find her. And she just was not, I just don't think she wanted to play hide and seek with me. A lot of other people that were there that night said that they played hide and seek. So maybe by the time I was down there, she was like, okay, I'm bored of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just kind of wandering around the basement with my pendulum in my hand. And I get close to the fireplace. And something just rips the pendulum like out of my hand. It ends up like in the middle of the room and the tip breaks off of it. And at about the same time is when my friend that I'm there with tells me they saw like a shadow running away from me. So something definitely took that out of my hands.
Oh my God.
Also,
what did it feel like?
It literally just felt like someone grabbed it and pulled it away from me.
Oh my God.
Okay. And the even creepier thing is when I got back to the hotel and I was putting things away, I remember packing my pendulum in my makeup bag. And now that I'm back home, I can't find it anywhere.
Weird. Okay.
So I'm pretty sure It's, yeah, maybe it'll show up one day, but right now I'm just thinking something took it, and if they want it that badly, they can keep it.
Yeah. Well, I wonder why they would need a pendulum.
I don't know. We were, someone did say, like, we did get a warning that there was most likely a child spirit in that room that was known for taking jewelry. Mm-hmm. Like, they like dangly necklaces and long earrings.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking maybe it's a little kid that's like, ooh, shiny.
Okay. Well, that's a possibility for sure. Yeah. That's really creepy, dude. Oh my god. Okay. So, all in all, was it eventful? Did you like it better this time?
Yes, I liked it better this time, especially because I knew what I was getting into and I had a plan going in. There was definitely other people on the tour that were just, you know, there to have fun and messed around with the ghost hunting equipment. Mm-hmm. I didn't use the equipment they gave us that much. I did for a little bit at first, but I was like, nah, my cards and my pendulum are what worked for me. So that's what I'm going to use. So it was definitely a really good opportunity to really practice my mediumship work.
Yeah, definitely.
And just kind of explore, you know, my limits and the different things I can communicate with, and really just cool to be in such an active environment.
So how do you think you did with the mediumship? Like, do you think you excelled? Do you think it was like a good test, or how do you feel about it?
I definitely think it was a very good test of what I could do. My, you know, the communication I had with Matilda was very intense. I'd say that might have been one of my more communicative sessions with the spirit. She definitely wanted to talk. So I definitely think it was very successful. It would have been very interesting to talk to Mary, but I'm never going to bother someone that doesn't want to talk. Just like in real, with living people, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, poke at you until you answer me. So if you don't want to talk, I'll leave you alone.
Yeah, that's respectful of you. Yeah. Like, I don't want her coming home and haunting you.
Exactly.
That would suck.
I have enough spirits that I live with. I'm pretty sure if I came home with another one, my boyfriend would be like, what are you doing?
It's like, why do you keep taking them home, honey? I don't want them.
I'm like, I'm sorry. Although I keep saying I just want a spirit in a jar. And he's like, why? Why do you want a spirit in a jar? I'm like, it'll be cool.
Well, pretty soon they're going to have to start paying rent, right. I'm sure.
Oh, that would be amazing. I also do want to add that I did make sure to bring, some protective wards with me. While I was in there, and just for anyone that does plan on going to some more haunted or paranormal locations, it can never hurt to bring along some wards. I had a bunch of crystals on me. I had my tourmaline, my clear quartz, obsidian, all that stuff. I have one of my crystals that I use specifically when I work with Hades. So I definitely made sure I was nice and protected for all of that as well.
Oh my god!
So that way I wouldn't have anything come home with me.
Yeah, I wouldn't want anything to come home with you either, because that wouldn't be like, I'd be really scared, honestly. Like, I don't know if I'd be able to go to a haunted house, because I attract a lot of unwanted attention. So
yes,
that's pretty amazing that you did that, though. Congrats on like fucking killing it. And like,
thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Speaking of Hades, do you want to do an episode on Hades next? Because I think that'd be really cool.
Yes, that would be awesome. I've actually been diving into my Greek pantheon research. So I would love to talk about Hades and any other things related to the Greek pantheon. I've been reading lots of the old ancient literature on that. I feel like I'm back in high school again with the Odyssey and the Iliad. But yeah,
I am so down to make an episode with deities with you. I am like, you know, I've been obsessed with them for like a good month or so.
Oh yes.
So yeah, is there anything else you want to say to the listeners while we have you here?
No, if you just all want to check me out on Instagram, it is the_witch_nextdoor. You can also find me on TikTok at witchy.af.
Love it.
Thank you. Guys,
well, that's Alana, and that's her story on a haunted ghost tour. So this is the start of, I believe, a very intense October ghost story month. So I'd love to have you back to talk about more ghost things.
Oh, of course.
Because I know you are a death, which I know you practice with a lot of spirits. So that's going to be really cool. So just want to say thank you for coming on.
Oh, of course. And I'm always happy to join you guys.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy to have be talking to you again. So that's awesome. And guys, if you guys want to kind of figure out where to reach her, go on her Instagram, her TikTok. I'll link everything in my description. So just want to say thanks again, Alana.
You are welcome.
We'll see you in the next one. Thanks.
See you soon.